Can't nobody love you like Jesus. Can't nobody help you like Jesus. Somebody said he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Somebody else said he's as close as the mention of his name. Oh, I thank the Lord for what I feel. Since I was here last time, I've just been jumping up and down to get back. My whole family's mad at me. They wanted to come. And I got board meetings this week. I got to leave here and go to board meetings. And my son, I tried to explain to him. I said, buddy, I'd take you with me. But do you want to sit around for 8 hours with a bunch of old men in a boardroom listening to financial reports? So I talked him out of it. But he made me promise I'd come back. So I promised him before I got an invitation. But I'm just so glad to be here. And thank you. Now, in the back, I'm not a salesman, and I hate it when I do this. My wife gets on to me when I don't. Last time I didn't have product, I ran out the church before. But I do have some things in the back. My wife's written 2 books that are very good, but I have a teaching series. This is War on the Floor, which is spiritual warfare. It's 6 CDs. We have one set that is dealing with emotional abuse, spiritual abuse, and sexual abuse. We have tapes, prayer series. Many people around the country, to me, seem to be praying amiss because they do not understand how to connect with the Spirit of God. There's a lot of, oh God, oh God, oh God, praying going on, and not a lot of connecting. And I felt it led in when I travel like this. A lot of times I don't get to teach. I'm more in a preach mode. And I would really rather teach than eat sometimes. I love to teach, get in the Word of God. And if you are interested in learning more of a laid-back structure, then you'll probably see me tonight or tomorrow, because I have a feeling it's going to get wild around here. just a feeling. But this will be available tonight and tomorrow. And we just feel, I'm like Brother Sutton, I do feel that there's destiny in the house. And if you have your Bibles tonight, and would go ahead and turn with me to the book of James. James chapter, let's see, I believe we're going to go to James chapter 2, James chapter 2, verse 17, then back to Acts chapter 3. When I was here last time, I didn't do a lot of prepared preaching as far as sermonizing. And I don't anticipate that now. I begin to think about this today on the plane. And God's been good this week. I was able to spend Monday until this morning with my family without preaching. Last Sunday night was my 21st time to preach in 21 days. When I was here with you last, I was just kicking that off. But this week I've been able. Last night was my 7-year-old daughter's birthday party. And tomorrow she will be 7. And my beautiful, sweet princess. And so I've had a good week. So if I get wild tonight, I'm rested, I'm relaxed. I'm staying in a real nice room, preaching for a man I respect and love. And it's so good to have his wife back. When I was here, she wasn't feeling well. I don't want to get myself in trouble, but I was just with her a few minutes at the table last time, and I figured out who does a lot of stuff around here. Well, we'll go on. I tell you, behind every great man, there's a surprise mother-in-law. James chapter 2 and verse 17. Even so, faith, say faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. We were just singing about our God being an awesome God. That word tremble there is in the context of awe. That the devils believe in one God and they are in awe. They're in trepidation. They tremble. They're in awe at the greatness of God. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by his works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who's seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms or an offering. He was begging for an offering or for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Now, you have to understand in the context of hermeneutics that what we just read from James is a teaching principle that we are seeing already worked out. He is teaching the church after they've been doing this kind of stuff. He is explaining to them what we're reading right now in a teaching format. This is an example in reality of what he is then later on as the head of the church under Christ, beginning to teach as an apostle and a bishop to the early church. He is teaching them faith without works is dead. Who's seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple asking alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Just say that with me. Expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Scripture says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And I just read to you that faith without works is dead. Don't sue me, and please don't go call Nike, but I'm going to use their terminology. It's probably out of style, but it just kept going over and over in my mind today on the plane. And I'm going to preach to somebody tonight. Just do it. Just do it. Stay with me for a moment. The book of Acts was never meant to be repeated verbally. It was meant to be reacted. Look at your neighbor and say, the book of Acts was not meant to be recited. It was meant to be reacted. I'm concerned, offended, upset, and plain ticked off that the religious church of today recites the scripture and recites what could happen, what should happen, what we want to happen. When are we going to shut up and just do it? When are we going to give? When are we going to pray? When are we going to lay hands on the sick? When are we going to walk in the Spirit? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I've come to tell you, I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of hearing about it. I honor every conference that's a preaching conference, but we've heard enough preaching to save the entire world. When somebody's going to put their sermon down and walk in the Spirit? When are we going to quit hiding behind the pulpit, hiding behind the four walls? Ever since a few weeks ago when I laid hands on that waitress in the restaurant and her ankle straightened and she was healed by the power of the Holy Ghost and she began to talk in tongues in the restaurant, my wife told me in Houston this week, she said, "Baby, you're embarrassing me, because here lately, every time I've been going in a restaurant the last 2 or 3 weeks, when they tell me they don't feel well or I've got a headache or my back hurts, I stand up and say, 'Well, can I pray for you right now?' Because I'm sick and tired of just hearing about it. It's time for somebody to do it." Is there anybody in here that says we're a church that God has chosen? We're a chosen generation. We have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Would you clap your hands and begin to magnify the Lord? Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. You can be seated if you want to. Look at your neighbor, point him right in the eye and say, "You are more than you look like. You are more than you think you are. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." You didn't hear me. You are more than you look like. You are more than a tithe-paying member of a social club that we call a church. You are more than a member of some elite status club that if you look like us, talk like us, sing like us, and pay us money, you can be a part of our club. I'm sick of that. Honey, this isn't a club. This is the church of the living God. He is the head. We are the body. We are members fitly joined together in the body, in the kingdom, in the nature of Christ. Does anybody here want to step out of social club religion and become a part of the body of Christ, where the Spirit of Christ can lead you and teach you and guide you into all truth? I got to get where I'm going. Hi there. How you doing? Good to see you, man. Good to see you again. You know something? You're more than you think you are. Now, hold on. Here's what the Bible said. The Bible said that you are a living epistle, seen and read among all men. We don't believe that. If you believe that, you would understand that Paul wrote 21 what we call epistles or letters. You are the 22nd epistle. And when people see you, they should see the 22nd epistle walking down the road. They don't, I've come to tell you, there's people smuggling Bibles into China. Honey, you don't have to smuggle a Bible. If you got one true Christian, one true believer, they shouldn't have to go search out a Bible and blow dust off of it. When they look at you, we are the walking, talking embodiment of the Word. Oh, you're not hearing me. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus Christ was the Word incarnate. When you got filled with the Holy Spirit, you become filled with the nature of Christ. The nature of Christ is the Word. When you become filled with the nature of Christ, you become filled with the Word. The Word should ooze from your body, your mind, your spirit, your walk, your talk, everything you do. There ought to be Word in your money, Word in your morals, Word in your marriage, Word in your families, Word in your ethics, Word in your integrity. Am I preaching to anybody? You are the 22nd epistle. When the world sees me, they should see a walking, talking Bible. You can laugh at me if you want to, honey. I am the book of Acts. There is no amen. There is no ending, Brother Sutton. This church is the book of Acts. This church is a continuing concept. This church is the inherited progeny of the book of Acts. You are a continuing generation. Look at somebody and say, you smell like paper. You smell like ink. When I get around you, I begin to think about how great God is. Okay, I'm going to test it right now. I'm going to test it right now. Is there anybody that believes that there's somebody here that is a continuation of the book of Acts? Do you believe what I'm saying? I'm going to prove it. Or is there anybody here that was an alcoholic, but God delivered you, and now you're sober, you're saved, you're sanctified? You ought to go crazy about it. Any drug addicts in here? Any former drug addicts and liars in here? Any whoremongers in here? Any party animals in here? Is there anybody in here that says, you don't know like I know? Is there anybody here that was sick? You had cancer, you had disease, you had diabetes, you had high blood pressure, you had arthritis, you had something in your body that the doctor said was impossible, but faith come by hearing, and by the hearing of the word of God, you were healed. I wish you'd tell somebody you're looking at a miracle. You're looking at a miracle. See, people are trying to tell. Now, I'm going to get a little wild tonight, but I'm just a little ticked off. Because we have been raised in an American church culture. I was raised part of my life overseas. And so I know what they act like overseas. I know what they act like in India. I know what they act like in Africa. I know what they act like in churches, where I have a pastor friend that just he himself has seen 7 dead people either in the hospital or the morgue come back to life when he walked in the room and said, I rebuke death. 7. That didn't happen 2,000 years ago. That's happening right now. And when I get around that kind of faith and that kind of miracle and hear those kind of testimonies, I get a little angry when the religious world of America wants to tell me that church is nothing more than a higher level Christian classroom, and that I'm to come in here and tell you about what did happen, what could happen, or what should happen. And you have to sit there and be quiet, dull, boring, leave depressed, leave drunk, leave offended, leave sick, leave bound, leave devil possessed, because there's no power in the pulpit. There's no power. I'm tired of it, baby. Somebody needs to just do it. Somebody needs to believe that this is that. I am not reciting something I read in a history book. This is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. High five somebody and say, you are the 22nd epistle. When people read you, what's being read?
Oh, you can sit down. It's all right. I'm not nervous. These that want to stay up at the mosh pit can. I love this mosh pit up here. They might pick me up and surf me in a minute. Then we'd have to pray for backs in the morning. You see, I was raised. Now, some of you weren't, but I'm going to tell you a little history. I was born. My parents were the pioneer students at Texas Bible College back when the rats were as big as the babies. My dad literally went his first semester of Bible College, Brother Sutton, free because he was cleaning out the dorms where they were living. And because he would clean it out, was disinfecting, cleaning the commodes and all that, they'd rented this old property that had been there forever. And because he was willing to work and sweep the cobwebs and all that kind of stuff, they let him go his first. That's how bad it was. He had to literally clean a place for him and my mom to live because that's how bad the dorms were and all that kind of stuff. I was born at that time. Then they pastored a little church in Texas, and then they traveled. I was raised sleeping on a pew. You crazy people running around, I could sleep in the middle of this. Noise does not bother me. My mama has shouted all over my head back when those high heel shoes were in style, about like that. Do you remember the days when they wore those big hairdos? Remember those days where they just big old bouffant hairdos and all that stuff had oatmeal boxes up in there? The old women used to call them rats, had rats in their head. And I'd be looking around, my God, where's a rat? They weren't talking about a real rat, but you know what I'm talking about. You young people don't have a clue what I'm talking about. They used to look funny, okay? You seen the little cat eye glasses? You seen those things, those big hairdos like that? They were ugly looking, I tell you what they were. I used to be in services where they would shout their bobby pins down. Do you remember that? You ever remember that? Would shout their bobby pins. They'd shout around me with those high heel stiletto heels. Woo, hallelujah. And I would be sleeping through all that. I was raised in this. I was raised hearing this since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. My dad traveled and evangelized back in the 60s and the 70s. He preached in churches that honestly would think you were crazy. He pastored a church in Arkansas for 9 years. I heard him preach about miracles, signs, and wonders. And about the most exciting as it would get is if the drummer would accidentally break a drumstick. Well, I'll tell you about the greatest move we ever had one night is our piano player during the service, during the preaching, had to go to the restroom. And when she come back in during the altar call, had a whole trail of toilet paper stuck to the bottom of her foot. Come all the way down. It was about the greatest move I saw in 9 years. The whole church just fell out laughing. It was a great move of emotion. Wasn't much anointing. It was a move of emotion. I'm taking you somewhere. Stay with me. Say, just do it. I got so aggravated that by the time I was 13 years old, I was to the point, either this is real or it's not real. Either God can or God can't. Either God will or God won't. And I remember going to my dad. We were sitting in the truck one day, and I looked at him and I said, Dad, you've been preaching and you believe and I believe, but it doesn't seem like anybody else believes that Jesus is the same today as he was in the Bible. But I believe that God is still able. Something began to churn up inside me, and I looked at him and I said, why can't we see now what they saw then? He says, who says you can't? Who says we can't? God's just waiting on somebody to get ready. God's just waiting on somebody to believe. I said, Daddy, I want to see blind eyes open. I want to see the lame walk. I want to see devils cast out. He said, well, number one, there's nobody like that in our church. We pastor a little church full of little perfect old people. Little ladies got the hair perfect, everything. Everything's just good. He said, if you want to see that kind of stuff, you're going to have to get out where the trouble is. You're going to have to get out where the devil is. You're going to have to get out where the problems are. So when I was 14 years old, I got me a moped, got my yellow helmet, got my big Bible, went down to the nursing home, walked in, and said, I've come to have revival. We're going to start nursing home services. I said, just do it, somebody. Quit talking about it and just do it. Quit saying, why can't I see it? Why isn't my husband saved? Why don't my kids live for God? Honey, you need to storm the gates of hell and take over and get militant. Who am I talking to that says I did not come to hear a rehearsal of what should be, what could be? I did not come tonight to tell you for the 100th time what happened in Acts chapter 3 with Peter and John. I come to tell you that if it happened then, it can happen now. If it happened there, it can happen here. Oh, who am I preaching to in here that feels the level of faith rising, that we are tired of simply rehearsing it? I'm not just preaching to this church, but you may be a guest here. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to Americans, Christians all over, that are tired of boring, dead, dull church, that simply wants to tell me that this is what the Hebrew says, this is what the Greek says. Tell that to my sick child. Tell that to my abusive husband. Tell that to my drug addict son. That doesn't help me at all. But do you have power? Do you have authority? Do you have dominion over the works of the devil? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost moving in here. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Just do it. Just do it. I feel faith rising in here. Who am I talking to that says this is our hour? We've been taught by our pastor. We've been equipped the last few months or years. This church has gone through a transition. We've learned what to do, how to do. Now it's time to do it. I don't know, Brother Sutton, what I'm saying in the Holy Ghost, but I feel like there's been a foundation laid, and now it's time to quit talking about it and just do it. We've been hitting that 300 barrier for a while now. You've been getting to this level and back up for a while now. Is anybody that says we got it now, Lord? You've taught us, you've directed us, you gave us a man of God. We got it this time. We're ready to do it. We're going to the next level. We're stepping into a new dimension. We're tired of hearing it. Would you raise your hands and just begin to call, show me your glory? Somebody say it, show me your glory. I've heard of your glory. I preach your glory. I sing your glory. I talk your glory. I tell of your glory. Show us your glory. Hey, Rabaja. Andere de Dios, Shata. Oh, I feel it. Do you feel it? Show us your glory. Show us your glory. This is the destiny I feel, Pastor. I preach a lot of places. I got some good stuff in that book in there. But I don't think this is the church or the place for me to get up here and try to tell you how good a preacher I am or prove to you my intellectual ability. You've got a pastor that can teach you and direct you and feed you. This is a well-fed flock. I felt that the first time I was here. It's a well-fed flock. Now you're ready to run some of it off of you. He's got you fat. He's got you fed. He's got you equipped. Now it's time to get in the tank and go somewhere. Now it's time to load with real bullets. Are you tired of practicing with blanks? You've been playing the war games, but it's time to put the camo on and storm the gates of hell and say, we've been through boot camp. We've been through basic training. God's put us through years of learning how to teach Bible studies and teach Sunday school, greet our guests, love people, got a good praise team. We've got the foundations. Now get out of the way, devil, because we're about to do what we've been talking about. Am I making any sense? I got on my motorcycle, walked in there and told that woman that I'd come to have service. She looked at me like I was crazy. Because I was 14, I was almost as big as I am now, except I was shorter, I was a whole lot fatter. Had on a Swedish knit suit, big old yellow helmet, big print Bible. My eyes have never been that good, and that's why I carry around a big print Bible. I walked in with my big print Bible. So I've come to have church. She called my father, said, Pastor Suber, there's a young man here, says he's your son, and he's come with your permission to start nursing home services. Is he, I don't know how to say this, Brother Suber, but is he normal? My dad said, no, he's not, but he's not retarded. That's what you're asking. He's not really normal. But he said, let him do it a couple of services and it'll wear off. But what he didn't know is some things don't wear off. See, some things don't wear off. If you're really called, it won't wear off. If you're really called, you don't need a pulpit. You don't need a beautiful church like this. If you really got it, you'll go anywhere. If you really got it, you don't need nobody lifting you up. You don't need anybody calling you brother so-and-so. If you really got it, these signs shall follow them that believe. I wish I was preaching to somebody. If you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk. If you're going to say you got it, these signs shall follow them that believe. I am a believer. I am a believer. Just because you got a bun on your head doesn't make you a believer. Just because you don't go to the movies don't make you a believer. Just because you think you holy doesn't make you a believer. What makes you a believer is these signs are following you. There are signs. There are signs. I preached for 6 months. Nothing happened. Got up and got my tambourine and preached, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus." I would shout, kick over the mic stand. They'd come in there, a few people in the wheelchairs. They should have never come in there with the wheelchairs. They'd come sit around in a circle looking at me. I'd get wild, grab the wheelchair, unlock the wheels, and begin to roll them around for Jesus. Hey! I'm not exaggerating at all. I had an interview last week that went to 6 million people. I told some of this story. It's why it's on my mind. And my dad said, "Dear Lord, son, the problem is," he said, "what makes it so funny is you're telling the truth." He said, "That's what makes it so funny. You really did it, and you really were ignorant." God uses ignorance, I guess. After about 6 months, nothing happened. We were in a revival. When I say a revival, no, let me rephrase that. We were in a series of preaching services. We had a guest speaker that was preaching to the petrified and the sanctified. And I was 14 years old, the only young person in my youth group. Right before we went to Africa, we were appointed to be missionaries. And I had never at that point in my life ever really seen a real miracle. But I was preaching it every Friday night and Saturday morning at the nursing home. So I went to my dad and I said, "Why don't we bring my church to the revival?" He said, "What do you mean your church? Who's your church?" I said, "The nursing home folk. I got 40 or 50 of them. Why don't we bring them to the revival? And if these dead heads..." Now, you got to understand, I was immature. I didn't have the love and the patience and the kindness I have now. And I said, "If these dead heads aren't going to do anything, I'll roll them around the aisles. I got people that can't stop me. I'll unlock their wheels and I'll roll them around the aisles. We'll shout, we'll talk in tongues." There was a lady there by the name of Mary. She was about 46 years old. Her name was Mary. She had been abandoned by her family. She had been put in the Arkansas School of the Blind. What this means is there was nothing wrong with her except she was blind. She graduated from the Arkansas School of the Blind. Her family didn't want her. They put her in this nursing home facility. She had nobody to love her. She was abandoned. She was neglected. And here was this 14-year-old fat preacher preaching that God loves you and can do anything. And she called me her pastor. We had revival. They came. They all came. The people drooling on themselves. They all came. And Mary came with her stick. Halfway through the preaching, she gets up and starts coming down the aisle. When she comes down the aisle, she says, "I want to talk to Pastor Suber." My dad walks over. She says, "No, not you. The other Pastor Suber." He rolls his eyes and looks and sees where I am. I'm up on the platform where I play my little saxophone, doing my little thing, singing my little song. I get up and I go down to her and I say, "What do you want, Mary?" She says, You preached to me that I could receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You preached to me that I could speak in other tongues as the Spirit would give me the ability to speak, that the Holy Ghost, that the Spirit of God could come in me." I'm talking about in the middle of the man's message. I said, "Yes, Mary, I did." She said, "Well, I want it now." The evangelist stopped and backed up. "Tell somebody, just do it. I'm trying to preach to you. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be 85 years old. Just quit talking and do it. Just shut your mouth and put your hand on somebody. Just..." Oh, I feel God building something up in here. I said, "Well, Mary, all I know you got to do is you got to repent." She said, "How do I repent?" Now, please don't do this, because I can't help what I told her. Remember, I was 14. I was unlearned. I said, "Tell Jesus you're a dirty, filthy, rotten, lying skunk." That was as low as I could think of. That was as ugly a words as I could think of. You got to understand, I was raised, the biggest sin in my house was watching Andy Griffin at the Neighbors. Worst thing I did was read Archie and Betty and Veronica. I mean, that was about as bad as it got around there. And I said, "Tell Jesus you're a dirty, filthy, rotten, lying skunk." She raised her hands in her sincerity. Say, "Just do it." You say, "Well, you didn't give her 10 steps to freedom and 12 steps to this and into this marvelous light. And you didn't tell her that there was only one God." I didn't have to do all that. She was ready right then. It was just time to do something, baby. It was just time to do something. Am I preaching to anybody that feels like God is expecting you to do something? God is in this place for you to do something. You could be hearing my voice right now. All you have to do is repent. All you have to do is say, Lord, help me. Lord, heal me. Lord, deliver me. Make a way where there seems to be no way. Provide finances where there seems to be an impossible situation. Oh, God. I don't know if I'm making sense. Am I making any sense? She said, I'm a dirty, filthy rock. Got about halfway through. Tears burst out of her eyes. She started talking in other tongues. When they caught me, I was in the back of the church having a fit like my brother up here. I was having a Holy Ghost fit, had on a Swedish knit suit. It's a miracle my pants didn't catch on fire. And polyester, I was back there having a fit. No, the ushers come, stop me. Excuse me. I turn around. Jonathan, she wants you again. I walked up. I was drunk. I was happy. She got the Holy Ghost. Praise God. First person I ever saw pray through with my own hands in ministry. I was so happy. Praise God. I go 14 years old. And I said, here I am, Mary. She says, was that the Holy Ghost? And I said, well, all I know is, did you speak a language you didn't understand? She said, yes. I said, was it the Spirit helping you do it? She said, yes. I said, then what was it? She said, it was the Holy Ghost. So then I shouted it again. Then she come back and said, well, if that was the Holy Ghost, you said if God could feel today, that he could heal today. And I want Jesus to open my eyes. I turned around. Don't shout yet. I turned around and said, Daddy! My spiritual, kind, sweet father folded his arms and backed up and said, oh, she's your saint. Backed up and the whole church backed up. I was in front of God and everybody. The whole church sitting there looking at me. No organ, no piano, no mood music, no nothing. Just a blind lady and me and everybody saying, this kid has lost his mind. She said, but if Jesus could fill me with the Holy Spirit, can't he open my eyes? Now, I have prayed for some that didn't get it, but I have prayed for some that did get it. So instead of making fun of me for the ones that don't get it, let me tell you about the ones that do get it. Because everybody you pray through seeking the Holy Ghost don't get the Holy Ghost. So until you repent over that, don't you be making fun of me for praying for 100 people and only 10 of them getting out of a wheelchair. Because at least that's 10 walking that wouldn't walk in. At least that's 5 that can hear that couldn't hear. Somebody just got to do it. Is anybody here tired of worrying about the problem? Oh, God. Oh. It's about to get wild up in here. Laid hands on her head, and all I didn't know how to pray. I asked Dad and Mom the other day, I said, what did I say? I remember it happened. What did I say? And Dad said, the best of my memory, what I can remember, is you just laid hands and covered her eyes and said, in the name of Jesus, eyes open. He said, that's all you said. And when I moved my hand, she grabbed her face and began to scream, I can see, I can see. 14 years old. 14. You're not hearing me. She was healed. Her eyes open. Her eyes open, not in Africa, not in Ethiopia, not in the Philippines, but in a little country church in Camden, Arkansas, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's looking for somebody crazy enough. He's looking for somebody with faith enough. He's looking for somebody with a conviction enough to say, I thank God that I've heard it, but faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. If I know to do it and I don't do it, it'll be sin and I'll stand in judgment. It wasn't all victory because she grabbed her face and began to giggle. I said, what's wrong? She started laughing. She said, you sure are fatter than I thought you were. God has a way of letting the air out of your bubble. He's not going to let you get his glory, baby. Don't worry about getting lifted up. I've had people tell me, Brother Super, I'm afraid to be used to God. I don't want to get pride. I'm like, are you an idiot? You can't get pride over something God's doing, because God will make it such where he won't share his glory with another. Everybody will know it's all about him. If it looks like it's a man, there is more pride. There is more pride. If you are a powerful, prolific speaker, there is more pride in you getting up here and knowing how to recite the story right, to entertain people with your intellect, than there is to lay hands on people and see them get out of a wheelchair. Because if you can get up there, you're just a good teacher. But when God heals them, it's not not about you, baby. It's about him. Am I preaching to anybody in this church? I feel like prophesying right now. There is a dimension of the supernatural. You've tried seminars. You've tried church growth. You've taught Bible studies. You've done everything that you know to do. I speak to you in the Holy Ghost. There is a dimension of the supernatural that is about to break loose in your jobs, in your homes, in the mall, in the street. There is an anointing upon this church, in the restaurant, in the gas station. I loose an anointing upon you that we're not just going to talk about it, shout about it, sing about it, but we've come to do it. We've come to believe that these signs, these hands shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. If we drink any deadly thing, it shall. Hello, fresh anointing. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, I loose the anointing. I pray right now that you would stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift right now in the Holy Ghost. I stir up the gift that's already in you. There's gifts already in you. The gift of faith is already in you. The working of the anointing of God is already in you. The power of the Holy Ghost to break chains and bondage is already in you. Just do it. Would you raise your hands and begin to shout unto God? Oh God, we're breaking into something right now. We are breaking into something right now. We are breaking into something right now. Do you have to hear me talk some more? Do you have to hear me tell some more stories? Or is anybody says, no, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to be healed right now. I'm ready to be delivered right now. I'm ready to be loosed right now. I'm ready to be set at liberty right now. This weekend is destined. This is not just another series of services. This is not just a preacher to entertain us or to lift us up. But this is a prophetic signal. This is a prophetic signal in the spirit that it's time to go from talk to walk, from rehearsal to action. Can I preach to somebody right now? Would you, if I told you that all the hell you've been through, all the trouble, every trial, every pain you've been through, what if I told you it's only been a rehearsal? Everything that has led you up to now has only been a rehearsal. God has been getting you ready for lights, camera, and action. Everything that has happened up to now, God let you go through in private. He has allowed you to go through private struggles and private pains. He's allowed you to fail and make a few mistakes, and you say, I don't understand why my life has been so unstable. Honey, you always mess up in the rehearsal. You always flub your lines in the rehearsal. You never look as good in the rehearsal as you do when it's prime time. But I've come to preach to somebody. Do you feel like the Holy Spirit is saying action? Action for this church. Action for this ministry. Action. Would you stand with me and begin to raise your hands and pray in the Holy Ghost? There's people in this room right now that needs to be loosed in the present sense. You need to be loosed in the present. You need to quit living in the past and living in the future. You need to be activated now. There needs to be an anointing loosed upon you now. A deliverance loosed upon you now. You can be religious and not be delivered. You can be sanctimonious and not be saved. You can be spiritual and not walk in the supernatural. But I am trying to preach to somebody that tonight is your night to be loosed. Tonight is your night, church, to be set free. Tonight is your night, if you've never received God, to let the fire of the Holy Spirit begin to burn inside you. The old prophet said, it's just like fire shut up in my bones. It's just like fire. Oh! I loose you right now. I loose your faith right now. I loose your anointing right now. Who's going to just do it right now? Who's going to get drunk in the Spirit right now? Who's going to just get lost in the Holy Ghost right now? Musicians, come. There are people here right now. Worshippers, would you just back up a moment? Worshippers, back up a moment. I'm opening this altar right now to music. I'm opening this altar on this first night. I'm opening this altar for people. Either you're a believer, you may be a saint of God, a child of God, a leader in this church, and hell has got you on hold and on pause. You are not living in a now, very present deliverance. You live in a yesterday anointing. You live in everything will be better tomorrow anointing. But I'm telling you to step up here tonight. We're going to loose you in the Holy Ghost. God is going to loose you. Every shackle of discouragement, depression, every attack of the devil. Who am I preaching to? You need a today anointing. You need a fresh anointing. Step up here right now. You need a fresh now anointing. You've lived in the past. You've lived in the yesterday. You've struggled with things. And how can you step into the dimension that God has called you in when you are struggling with chains and bondage? There are people listening to me. You do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have never felt the fire of God rush through your body. You have never really felt that being birthed by the Spirit. Yes, you love God. Yes, you have confessed Christ, but you have never truly been born of the Spirit. I'm telling you to step up here right now. If you don't have, if you want more, does anybody want more? Are you tired of hearing about more and you want more? You're tired of talking about more and I loose you. Activate now. 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 There it is. Make a new creature. Father, break every chain. I rebuke the devourer. I rebuke the devil. Break every chain, every fetter. Here go. Oh, Tamamosh, Babahunder Kiyoraboya. Chains are falling off right now. Press in, press in, press in, press in. If you want a fresh touch, press in. If you want a personal touch, press in. If you want God to do something for you that you have never felt, press in. Tonight is your night. I'm going to begin to follow the Holy Ghost. Ministry team, help me tonight. But the Spirit of the Lord is here to loose you. The Spirit of the Lord is to set young people free. He's to set new converts free. Come on, young preacher. He's here to set you free. Come on, backslider. He's here to bring you home. Come on, Father. He's here to establish and to develop and to equip you. Greater is he that is in you. Now, those of you that's already got it, I want you to come lay hands on these people. Touch their shoulders. Join their hands. Come connect to them. Come on. It's time to just do it. Believers. Believers shall lay hands on. Believers. Father, in the name of the Lord, set them free right now. Set them free. I activate right now a fresh anointing, a fresh word. Here you go. Raise your hand. Are you ready? Now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I activate a today anointing to miracles now, victory now, loosing now, deliverance now, encouragement now, peace now, hope now. Healing now. Come on, somebody. Get it, get it, get it, get it, get it, get it. Get it now. Get it now. Get it now. Get your help now. Get your deliverance now. Just do it. Just do it. You've been struggling about when to get right. Tonight's the night to just do it. If you've been struggling about when to commit and when to get solid, tonight's the night to just do it. If you've been struggling, when are you going to reject the world? When are you going to tell the world goodbye and tell your friends get back? Tonight's the night to just do it. When have you been waiting for a word? This is your word. Just do it. Because if you know to do good and you do it not, it's sin. So just do it. Just do it. Come on, somebody. Repent, make it right. control. With the light, come on. God tried to do it earlier in this service. Would you raise your hands and allow the Spirit of the Lord to allow you to lose control? When's the last time you got drunk in the Holy Ghost? When's just do it. Quit thinking about it. Quit saying, oh, I wish I could. Oh, I need to. Preacher, you're right, but I'm not ready. Just do it.
Thank you.
If you're here right now and you're believing God, and you believe God is going to do for you tonight what you need, but you haven't yet got it, I'm going to stand right here. And I'm going to stand here and pray for you. As long as you come, I'll stand right here. Because it's time to just do it. If you've got a need, if you're depressed, if hell's attacked you, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you're bound by something and you've got to have it tonight, you don't have to leave. Many have already received it. But if you haven't received it and you're desperate, tonight's the night to get it. It's tonight to just make up your mind. Tonight's my night. This is my day. And it's going to happen now in the name of Jesus. Give him praise. 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 Give him praise.